Welcome to the First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. Now, the Wednesday service.
Good evening. The topic for tonight's reading is the Sermon on the Mount. Let's hear what Mary Baker Eddy says about the Sermon on the Mount in these excerpts from an article entitled The Christian Science Pastor, from the book Message to the Mother Church, Boston, Massachusetts, June 1901. True, I have made the Bible and the science and health with key the scriptures, the pastor of all the churches of the Christian Science denomination, but that does not make it impossible for this pastor of ours to preach. To my sense, the Sermon on the Mount, read each Sunday without comment and obeyed throughout the week, would be enough for Christian practice. The Word of God is a powerful preacher. It is not too spiritual to be practical, nor too transcendental to be heard and understood. Divine science is not an interpolation of the Scriptures. It is redolent with health, holiness, and love. It only needs the prism of divine science, which scholastic theology has obscured, to divide the rays of truth and bring out the entire hues of God. The lens of science magnifies the divine power to human sight, and we then see the allness of spirit, therefore the nothingness of matter. Let's begin this healing service by singing hymn number 537. I will read the second verse. We heard the word in song and sermon spoken. In silent prayer, we turn to God today. Our humble hearts receive the blessed token of truth that guides us in the upward way. Hymn number 537.
Go forward and our joy and
Bible, Romans. Through Christ Jesus, the law of spirit who gives life has set you free from the law of sin and death. You'll hear a lot from Matthew now. Jesus was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted by the devil. After fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. The tempter came to him and said, "If you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man shall not live on bread alone, but on every word that cometh from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you, and they will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered him, "It is also written, do not put the Lord your God to the test." Again, the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and their splendor. "All this I will give you," he said, "if you will bow down and worship me." Jesus said to him, "Away from me, Satan, for it is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." Then the devil left him, and angels came and asked and attended him. From that time on, Jesus began to preach, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near." Jesus went throughout all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and every sickness among the people. News about him spread all over Syria, and people brought to him all that were ill with various diseases, those suffering from pain, the demon-possessed, those having seizures, and the paralyzed, and he healed them. Large crowds from Galilee, the Decapolis, Jerusalem, Judea, and the region across the Jordan followed him. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up onto a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. He said, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil things against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. You are the salt of the earth, but if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Do not think that I have come to abolish the laws of the prophets, or I have not come to abolish, but I have not come to abolish them, but to fulfill them. For I truly tell you, until heaven and earth disappear, not this smallest letter, not the least stroke of a pen, will by any means disappear from the law until everything is accomplished. Therefore, Everyone who sets aside one of these least of these commandments and teaches others accordingly will be called least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever practices and teaches these commandments will I call great in the kingdom of heaven. For I tell you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees and the teachers of the law, you will certainly not enter the kingdom of heaven. You have heard that it was said to the people long ago, you shall not murder, and anyone who murders will be subject to judgment. But I tell you that anyone who is angry with his brother or sister will be subject to judgment. Again, anyone who says to a brother or sister, rakah, is answerable to the court. And anyone who says, you fool, will be in danger of the fire of hell. Therefore, if you are offering your gift at the altar, and there remember that your brother or sister has something against you, leave your gift there in front of the altar. Go first and be reconciled to them. Then come and offer your gift. Settle matters quickly with your adversary who is taking you to court. Do it while you are still together on the way, or your adversary may hand you over to the judge, and the judge may hand you over to the officer, and you may be thrown into prison. Truly, I tell you, you will not get out until you have paid the last penny. You have heard that it was said, you shall not commit adultery. But I tell you that anyone who looks on a woman lustfully has already committed adultery with her in his heart. If your right eye causes you to stumble, gouge it out and throw it away. It is better for you to lose one part of your body than for your whole body to be thrown into hell. Again, you have heard that it was said to the people long ago, do not break your oath, but fulfill to the Lord the vows you have made. You have heard that it was said, eye for an eye and tooth for a tooth. But I tell you, do not resist an evil person. If anyone slaps you on the right cheek, turn to them the other cheek also. And if ever any wants to sue you and take your shirt, hand over your coat as well. If anyone forces you to go a mile, go with them 2 miles. Give to the one who asks, and do not turn away from the one who wants to borrow from you. You have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be the children of your Father in heaven. He causes his sun to rise on the evil and the good, and sends rain on the righteous and the unrighteous. If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even the tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your own people, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? Be perfect, therefore, as your heavenly Father is perfect. A man with leprosy came and knelt before him and said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus reached out his hand and touched the man. I am willing. He said, be clean. And immediately he was cleansed of his leprosy. When you pray, go into your room, close the door, and pray to your Father who is unseen. Then your Father, who sees what is done in secret, will reward you. And when you pray, do not keep on babbling like pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. Do not be like them, for your Father knows what you need before you ask him. This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name, be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For if you forgive other people when they sin against you, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. But if you do not forgive others their sins, your Father will not forgive your sins. Do not store for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and vermin destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where moth and vermin do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are healthy, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are unhealthy, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will devote to one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and body more than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow nor reap, nor store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Can any one of you, by worrying, add a single hour to your life? Do not judge, or you too will be judged. For in the way you judge others, you will be judged. And with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. So in everything, do to others as you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law of the prophets. Enter through the narrow gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many enter there through it. Therefore, everyone who hears these words of mine and puts them into practice is like a wise man who built his house on a rock. The rains came down, the streams rose, and the winds blew and beat against that house, yet it did not fall, because it had a foundation on the rocks. But everyone who hears these words of mine and does not put them into practice is like a foolish man who built his house on sand. The rain came down, the streams rose, and the wind blew and beat against the house, and it fell with a great crash. When Jesus had finished these sayings, the crowds were amazed at his teaching, because he taught as one who had authority and not as their teachers of the law. When Jesus came down from the mountainside, large crowds followed him. And when Jesus had entered Capernaum, a centurion came to him asking for help. Lord, he said, my servant lies at home paralyzed, suffering terribly. Jesus said to him, shall I come and heal him? The centurion replied, Lord, I do not deserve to have you come under my roof, but just say the word, and my servant will be healed. For I myself am a man under authority, with soldiers under me. I tell this one, go, and he goes, and that one, come, and he comes. I say to my servant, do this, and he does it. When Jesus heard this, he was amazed and said to those who followed him, truly, I tell you, I have not found anyone in Israel with such great faith. Then Jesus said to the centurion, go, let it be done, just as you believed it would. And his servant was healed at that moment. Romans, the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Now to whom who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the commands of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the holy wise God be glory forever through Christ Jesus. Amen. I shall now read Science and Health with Key to Scriptures by Mary Baker Eddy. Whatever inspires with wisdom, truth, or love, be it song, sermon, or science, blesses the human family with crumbs of comfort from Christ's table, feeding the hungry and giving living waters to the thirsty. In the year 1866, I discovered the Christ science, or divine laws of life, truth, and love, and named my discovery Christian Science. This apodictical principle points to the revelation of Emmanuel, God with us, the sovereign ever-present, delivering the children of men from every ill that flesh is heir to. Through Christian Science, religion and medicine are inspired with a diviner nature and essence. Fresh pinions are given to faith and understanding, and thoughts acquaint themselves intelligently with God. From the Infinite One in Christian Science comes one principle and its infinite idea, and with this infinitude comes spiritual rules, laws, and their demonstration, which, like the great giver, are the same yesterday and today and forever. For thus are the divine principle of healing and the Christ idea characterized in the Epistle to the Hebrews. The life of Christ Jesus was not miraculous. It was indigenous to his spirituality. The good soil wherein the seed of truth springs up and bears much fruit. Christ's Christianity is a chain of scientific being, reappearing in all ages, maintaining its obvious correspondence with the scripture, and uniting all periods in the design of God. Jesus instructed his disciples whereby to heal the sick through mind instead of matter. He knew that the philosophy, science, and proof of Christianity were in truth, casting out all inharmony. In Latin, the word rendered disciple signifies students, and the word indicates that the power of healing was not a supernatural gift to those learners, but the result of their cultivated spiritual understanding of the divine science, which their master demonstrated by healing the sick and sinning. Hence, the universal application of his saying, "Neither pray I for these alone, but for them which also shall believe on me, understand me through their word." Our master said, "But the Comforter shall teach you all things." When the science of Christianity appears, it will lead you into all truth. The Sermon on the Mount is the essence of this science, and the eternal life, not the death of Jesus, is its outcome. Those who are willing to leave their nets or to cast them on the right side for truth have the opportunity now as aforetime to learn and to practice Christian healing. The scriptures contain it. The spiritual import of the word imparts this power. Our master taught his disciples one brief prayer, which we name after him the Lord's Prayer. Our master said, "After this manner, therefore, pray ye." And then he gave that prayer which covers all human needs. In the phrase, "deliver us from evil," the original properly reads, "deliver us from the evil one." This reading strengthens our scientific apprehension of the petition, for Christian Science teaches us that the evil one, or one evil, is but another name for the first lie and all liars. Only as we rise above all material sensuousness and sin can we reach the heaven-born aspiration and spiritual consciousness, which is indicated in the Lord's Prayer, and which instantly heals the sick. Here, let me give what I understand to be the spiritual sense of the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, which art in heaven, our Father, Mother, God, all harmonious, hallowed be thy name, adorable one. Thy kingdom come, thy kingdom is come, thou art ever present. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Enable us to know, as in heaven, so on earth, God is omnipotent, supreme. Give us this day our daily bread. Give us grace for today. Feed the famished affections. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And love is reflected in love. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. And God, leadeth us not into temptation, but delivereth us from sin, disease, and death. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. For God is infinite, all power, all life, truth, love, over all and all. Christian Science overruled the error which would impose penalties for transgression of physical laws of health. He annulled supposed laws of matter, opposed to the harmonies of spirit, lacking divine authority and having only human approval for their sanction. Students of Christian Science who start with its letter and think to succeed without the spirit will either make shipwrecks of their faith or will be turned sadly awry. They must not only seek, but strive to enter the narrow path of life. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way, that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in thereat. Man walks in the direction toward which he looks, and where his treasure is, there will his heart be also. If our hopes and affections are spiritual, they come from above, not from beneath. And they bear, as of old, the fruits of the Spirit. To admit that sickness is a condition over which God has no control is to presuppose that omnipotent power is powerless on some occasions. The law of Christ, or truth, makes all things possible to spirit, but the so-called laws of matter would render spirit of no avail and demand obedience to materialistic codes, thus departing from the basis of one God, one lawmaker. To suppose that God constitutes laws of inharmony is a mistake. Discords have no support from nature or the divine law, however much is said to the contrary. We should become more familiar with good than with evil, and guard against false beliefs as watchfully as we bar our doors against the approach of thieves and murderers. We should love our enemies and help them on the basis of the golden rule, but avoid casting pearls before those who trample them underfoot, thereby robbing both themselves and others. In the science of mind healing, it is imperative to be honest, for victory rests on the side of immutable right. To understand God strengthens hope, enthrones faith in truth, and verifies Jesus' word, "Lo, I am with you always, even into the end of the world." Resisting evil, you overcome it and prove its nothingness. Not human platitudes, but divine beatitudes reflect the spiritual light and might which heal the sick. The belief that life can be in matter or soul and body, and that man springs from dust or from an egg, is the result of the moral error which Christ or truth destroys by fulfilling the spiritual law of being in which man is perfect, even as the Father which is in heaven is perfect. Mind science teaches that mortals need not be weary in well-doing. It dissipates fatigue in doing good. Giving does not impoverish us in the service of our master, of our maker, rather. Neither does withholding enrich us. We have strength in proportion to our apprehension of the truth, and our strength is not lessened by giving utterance to truth. The God-inspired walk calmly on, though it be with bleeding footprints, and in hereafter they will reap what they now sow. The pampered hypocrite may have a flowery pathway here, but he cannot forever break the golden rule and escape the penalty due. The footsteps of truth, rising above material standpoints, are slow and pretend a long night to the traveler, but the angels of his presence, the spiritual intuitions that tell us when the night is far spent, the day is at hand, are the guardians in the gloom. Whoever opens the way in Christian Science is a pilgrim and stranger, marking out the path for generations yet unborn. The thunder of the Sinai and the Sermon on the Mount are pursuing and will overtake the ages, rebuking in their course all error and proclaiming the kingdom of heaven on earth. Truth is revealed. It needs only to be practiced. The law of spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. The best sermon ever preached is truth, practiced and demonstrated by the destruction of sin, sickness, and death. Let's take a moment or so for silent prayer, followed by the Lord's Prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever. Let's sing our second hymn, hymn 221. O Jesus, our dear Master, thy works, now understood, reveal their full effulgence through love and brotherhood. Today, Christ's precious science, thy healing power makes plain. With joy may all obey thee and cast out sin and pain. Hymn number 221.
Tender ever. Oh, science, God sent message to tired humanity. Carve out your revelation of truth to that makes us free. Thy kingdom, God, within us shows good love, sweet control. God's ideal man rejoices, he knows the grace of
thank you for joining us on this healing service, and thank those who also are joining on the listen line. There will be a business meeting for the members of our church at 6:15 next Wednesday night, January 29th, which is the last Wednesday of the month, right before the Wednesday testimony meeting. This is an important meeting as we will be electing new board members and they will be updating us on the ongoing church business of the church. I also have a save the date. Let's see. Fifth Church of Indianapolis is hosting a Bible talk by Madeline Maupin from Newport Beach, California. Her topic will be Acts of the Apostles, Seeing the Holy Spirit in Action. This is a non-denominational Bible study. You can find out further information about this opportunity on the bulletin board in the foyer. This is now your time to express gratitude for Christian Science with experiences, testimonies, and remarks on Christian Science. Oh, Virginia has a microphone.
Thank you for those readings. I love that part at the beginning, what Mary Baker-Gerrity, the comment she made about the Sermon on the Mount. And I know I've heard it many times, but it seems like maybe not all at once, and I've forgotten how many really good gems there are, reminders to not only the Golden Rule, but you know, things that we should think about and do. And so I'm going to, you know, kind of try to think about that every day and see if I can make some more progress, because there are a lot of really, really good things to think about in our interaction with others as well as in our own daily lives. So, and it is interesting to hear it in a different Bible interpretation. It really makes me think differently about certain things. I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. Virginia.
I want to share something that I read this week. First of all, I would like to thank you so much for the readings from the desk tonight and doing to others as you would have others doing to you. Something we need to think about, or I do every single day, and remind myself of that. So important. But I saw an article recently, and the top of it said, my parents drugged me. And it caught my eye, and I thought, oh my. And I read on, and I realized that my parents had drugged me too. They drugged me to church. They drugged me to help out in the yard. They drugged me to write thank you notes. They drugged me to do the things that were the right things to do. And as I thought about that, I thought every Sunday my mother would take me to church, and I wasn't drugged. I mean, I remember wanting to go, but it was never an option. And as my husband and I raised our children, it was never an option. They weren't drugged. That's what you do on Sunday. And I remember as a child, we were introduced to Christian Science when I was 7, and we started going to church, and I met my husband when I was 7. We waited a few years to get married, but we, but that's when I met him, and I remember just not having to be drugged to go to church because I love to go to Sunday school and see him and also learn about so many things. And that was in November when we started going, and we didn't have a car and no transportation, so we would either walk, it was a long way, or we would take a taxi, or sometimes people from church would pick us up and take us. But I remember when, I was probably in the spring, I seemed to have the belief of whooping cough, and my parents were new in science, and I remember one night waking up and I could not breathe, and I remember the fear that they had and the fear that I had, and the next day they took me to a doctor, and we came back with several types of medications. But I've been going to the Christian Science Sunday School, and I learned about how you rely on God and how you can use the help of a practitioner. And so I said, I don't want to take the medicine. I want to go to a practitioner. I remember all this like it was yesterday. And there was this lovely, lovely lady, and she lived across the street from the church, and she lived on the third floor. And it happened to be a time that my aunt was visiting from Texas. And she was very, very disturbed that we were going to the Christian Science Church. She, it was very upsetting to her. But my mom was working, and she asked her if she would take me to this practitioner's apartment, drop me off, and then pick me up. So I'm sure that was not what she was wanting to do that day, but she did. She dropped me off. I remember being alone and going up those three flights of stairs and going into her apartment, and the peace I was feeling and the love. And anyway, I was healed. And I just remember how important it was to me in that moment, made me realize that God can heal and he's always here for us. And as we got married and we would take our children to church, it was never an option. And I remember when my daughter was about 4 and a half, my dad was in the hospital, and he was not doing well. And the doctor the night before took me aside and said, you need to know that your father probably won't make it. And I remember not having any fear. I just immediately said, oh, yes, he will. You know, I totally just denied what he said. And so the next day I was meeting with some of my students, and Amanda was with me. And on the way, when we left there, we drove to Muncie to see my father. And all the way there, we prayed. And Amanda was just right into it, you know, he's going to be fine. So we get there, and after we arrived in his room, he said the strangest thing happened. He said, I went into the restroom, and I felt a shroud go over me, and it was like everything that was wrong just fell off. And the doctor came in, and he did all these different tests that he had done before. And he said, there's nothing wrong with him. And we're going to be releasing him because, you know, and he says, I can't explain it, but this is what happened. So even though it might appear that we drag children to church, I'm so thankful that I was drugged. And I'm thankful that my children were drugged because, you know, it's so important to give them that. As parents, we have that responsibility to give them food and to give them shelter, and I think to give them faith. So when they are out on their own, they have those wonderful tools that they can use in every day of their life. And I think I'm very thankful for Christian Science.
Thank you. I'm going to share a couple things about the lesson. I enjoyed so much having the opportunity to read tonight. Sermon of the Mount, what came to me fairly quickly, and then the opportunity to go through the different translations. And boy, there are a lot of them out there, and they have quite different messages. And I will admit, some of the couple of the books read the Beatitudes, happy is, and I'm still not ready to accept that yet. That's neither here nor there. But anyway, I settled on NIV because I thought it was close to what Mrs. Eddy talked about. I love that the NIV talks about brothers and sisters, not just talking about a brother like it's in King James Version. And it just reminded me every time I read that somewhere in one of the citations, that it reminded me of Mrs. Eddy saying, Father, Mother, God. It just brought back that same point. And I love the opportunity to read, and I really enjoyed digging into the different translations and trying to get a little bit more out of it. And I'm grateful that my wife was my guinea pig for listening through all that. So it was a wonderful time. And like I always end testimonies, Christian Science is a wonderful way of life, and I love every moment.
I had just a sweet experience. Went home for lunch and looked out the kitchen window, and there was in the woods, not far away, a fairly large doe just foraging in the woods to find food. And I translated it, I guess, into a spiritual concept to realize that God is not only caring for all mankind, but guiding each element of his creation. And it just was a real sweet experience for me to see how this doe, and I didn't see any other deer with her, and thinking about it later, she was quite large, and I have no idea when springtime comes for birthing with them. But I just was so grateful, and it reminds me of a poem. God good guides, guards, and governs all mankind. And I guess we could say that is applicable to all of God's creation. Thank you for your readings.
Thank you.
Thank you so much for the readings, and I also love your hymn selections tonight. I was looking forward after hearing the topic of what tonight's lesson was going to be, and so grateful also that you did choose another translation. One of the things that I've come away with from hearing that was just that sense. It's interesting you should say our Father, Mother, God, because just feeling that sense of our Father, Mother, love, God's sweet, sweet governance, and God's sweet, sweet treasuring each idea, just feeling so precious to God and so loved, and also just feeling that government of God, feeling safe and cared for. And then this verse of feeling love's sweet control, thy kingdom, God, within us shows forth love's sweet control. God's idea man rejoices, he knows the reign of soul. I think that's also what the study of Christian Science gives us, is just this feeling that we are so cared for and so watched over. On Friday night, my husband and I had the joy of going to the airport and picking up our daughter and granddaughter, but their plane didn't arrive until 1 o'clock in the morning. and Saturday morning, and we had heard the weather report that it was going to be icy and, you know, perhaps a little precarious. And so we had kind of tucked that up as we were getting ready to go to the airport. And we were just so happy to see everyone. And so when we got in the car, my husband and my granddaughter were sitting in the back, and my daughter asked if she could drive. And we said, sure. And so we took off home, towards home, and it was slick. And my daughter lost control of the car, it seemed, to human sense. And there was some traffic out, and the car went sliding from one guardrail to another. And I have to say that from the moment my daughter said, I think we might be in trouble, I just immediately felt this sweet, sweet governing control of God. I just felt so safe. I voiced it immediately that God was in absolute, complete control. And even when we kept sliding and there were other cars, I just felt that everyone was so safe. God just wouldn't have it any other way. And she, you know, gained control of the car. We went on our way. But I was just so, so grateful that there's never an instant, never an instant when we can be out of God's care and God's love. And it never just blesses us. It blesses everyone that our thoughts resting upon, everyone in the situation. God's love is certainly for all each and every one of his ideas. At any rate, I just wanted to express gratitude for that and for the joy of being here this evening and hearing these readings. Thank you again.
Thank you. And thank you all. Let's close this healing service by singing hymn number 505. I will bless the Lord and give him glory. Oh, I bless his name and give him glory. The Lord is gracious and merciful, great in kindness and good to all. The Lord is righteous in all his ways. Bless the Lord and give him praise. Hymn number 505.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to First Church of Christ Scientist Carmel Wednesday evening service. You can join us any Sunday at 10:30 a.m. or Wednesday at 7:30 p.m. at our church located at 116th and Haverstick Road in Carmel. Or give us a call on the Listen Line, 317-688-9898. 317-688-9898. Thanks again for listening.